Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to be taking a look at Romans chapter 8. But before we go there, I just want to remind everyone that there's all kinds of free downloadable materials that are available on my website. They can be used for teaching, they can be used for preaching. You can download the videos, you can download MP3 audios, as well as the written notes. So there are all kinds, as I said, all kinds of things that are available, and they're all absolutely free. Just go to the address which is listed below, but in case you're just listening, just go to www.pastorvic.com. Let me try that again. www.pastorvic.com. Anyway, let's move on with our examination of the Word today. Father God has given us two important gifts for salvation and for deliverance from sin. The first, of course, is the gift of Jesus. John 3:16, familiar scripture, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that, of course, is the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. The second gift is the fact that the Holy Spirit came down to live in us. John 14:16 says, Jesus says in John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another one just like me, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus came to provide salvation for all who would believe in him. And then he released the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to live in us so that we would be able to live a victorious life, conquering sin and walking in righteousness. And when we do that, it brings about God's abundant blessings in our lives. Now, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Romans is chapter 8. Now remember, the entire book of Romans is doctrinal. That means that the word doctrine simply means truth or truths. Jesus proclaimed the truth of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul explained how to apply those truths and how to live in the kingdom while here on the earth. And so when I look at Romans chapter 8, I see it broken up into four parts, four important principles. And what we can learn from Romans chapter 8 that will help us to understand how we're to become victorious in this life. Come on, don't we all want to be victorious in this life? Well, first one is the only way we can successfully overcome temptation and sin is to recognize that as a believer in Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is available to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and most importantly, to empower us to do what is right in God's eyes, which brings about the blessing. The second point in Romans chapter 8 is that the presence of the Holy Spirit confers upon us a new relationship with the Lord, and that is the relationship of what's called sonship. We are in reality sons and daughters of God through adoption. And therefore, we're brothers with Christ and heirs of all that the Father has. In other words, we get to inherit. The third point or principle that we find in Romans chapter 8 is that the Holy Spirit encourages us and gives us the confidence that we need in order to overcome and see the victory no matter what we're going through right now. The good news is that in the end, we win. And finally, the fourth point of Romans chapter 8 is that as believers, we can be sure that God's love for us will never fail. Never think that your behavior can cause God to love you less. We live in a fallen world consumed by sin. Isaiah 5:20, I recommend you take a look at that. And then also look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. It's clear that the enemy of our soul, your soul and my soul, is the devil, and he tries to cause us to reject the love of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now today we only have time to go through the first principle, but we'll continue with the other principles in the weeks to come. But so first, let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to take a look at verses 1 through 13, and we're going to look at it in an expository sense. I'm going to share a couple of the scriptures, and then I'm going to go through some details in explaining. And Romans chapter 8 is the powerful answer to the question that Paul poses in Romans chapter 7. In other words, who can help me to do the things that I want to do to please God and avoid the things that I don't want to do, which would offend God? And he says in verse 1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." What a powerful two verses. No condemnation. You see, if you're in Christ, you're not condemned. Condemnation is a sentence to punishment. In the same manner as an earthly judge would sentence a criminal to prison or death, condemnation means guilt, shame, separation. And condemnation, hear me clearly, does not come from God. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he tries to condemn us before God. But here's the good news. Jesus is our intercessor who sits at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus claims you and claims me as his own. Furthermore, Jesus says that no one can snatch us out of his hand. Beginning in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Then verse 29 goes on to say, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Wow, that's wonderful news, knowing that we are in God's hand, and nothing and no one can take us out of his hand. That should be a comfort to you. Now, the evidence that you're in Christ is that you behave in a manner that reflects God in you. That means to walk in the Spirit. Notice that in the scripture, especially in Romans chapter 17, that the word Spirit has a capital S. And this refers to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You see, Christianity is not about belonging to a Christian organization or an institution. It's about a relationship with the living God. Remember, when Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he went to sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And when Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the believer, just as Jesus promised in the Gospel of John. Listen to John 14:15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That word helper, it can mean an advocate, it can mean a one that's alongside you, one that will never leave you nor forsake you, "that he may live in you forever." He's referred to in verse 17 as the Spirit of truth, whom the world, meaning those that don't know Jesus, cannot receive, because they neither see or hear him, nor do they know him. But you, because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know him, for he dwells within you, and he will be with you. Then Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And then in John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit," no question about it, "the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." As a side note, don't fall into the trap of self-condemnation. You're forgiven. Or let others heap condemnation on you. You see, when you fall into condemnation, when you fall, when you stumble, listen, we all stumble and fall. None of us are perfect. But when you fall into condemnation, you'll cause yourself to separate yourself from God. Because that's what condemnation does. It causes you to want to run away from God. Instead, pick yourself up. Run to Him and repent. Be confident. Be assured that the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are loved, you are forgiven, and you're accepted. Moving on, let's look at Romans beginning chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. Recall that the law, or the law of Moses, was given so that we would know what sin is. It was also given that we would know what God expects from us. The law is like, you know, I look at it as like a set of train tracks and to keep us going in the right direction. God's desire is to bless His creation. And when we live to please Him, we have access to the abundant life. The problem is that we don't want to stay on the tracks. Very often we want to go to the left or we want to go to the right. And when we do, we sin. So the temptation to sin is so powerful because, listen, we all want our own way. We want what we want. But all of this is because of what Paul calls the sin nature. The sin nature is that sin that is associated with the fall in the Garden of Eden. And we know that all mankind has this sin nature when they're born into this world. Paul makes the case in Romans chapter 7 that we often wind up doing what we don't want to do, or we're unable to do what we do want to do in order to please God. The problem is that we operate in the flesh. That is that we're doing what we think is right in our own eyes or in our own opinion. What Jesus did was to fulfill the law through His final sacrifice once and for all upon the cross. Now, whoever accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior has been delivered from condemnation and receives the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Father. And because of that, He is able to lead us into righteousness. All we need to do is learn how to listen and obey. Now let's take a look at Romans beginning chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. And the scripture says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," that means to operate in the flesh, to operate in our own understanding, "is death. But to be spiritually minded, to be led by the Spirit of God, is life and peace." You see, what you set your mind on, you wind up following. The scripture says that who you obey is master over you. You obey the carnal desires. If you obey the fleshly desires, then the flesh is your master and death will be your outcome. But obey the Holy Spirit's promptings and God is your master, resulting in life and peace. Something I've learned in life is that if your focus is on sin, it leads you to sin. But if your focus is on righteousness and grace, it will lead you to righteousness. So instead of concentrating on avoiding sin, focus on doing right, and what you will find is that the temptation will fall away. Romans 8:7 begins with, "Because the carnal mind is enmity," it's opposed to, it's an enemy, it's in conflict against God. "For it's not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, it should be obvious that without the Spirit of God working in us, it's impossible for us to avoid sin and to do the right things. It's so difficult to rely on your own self-control to please God. That's what those who are in the flesh cannot please God means. You need help. You need the Helper. You need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps you overcome temptation and sin. And we have a lot more to talk about this as we go on. Then, beginning in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit in you is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Notice it's Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Begin to recognize the Holy Spirit who lives in you. When you allow the Spirit of Christ to empower your life, you won't be controlled by the flesh. By the way, if the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, you can't belong to Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. I know there are some who don't have much faith or don't believe in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You cannot pick and choose your doctrine. On a positive note, though, that now that Jesus lives in you, lives in me, even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you, because God fully accepts you. Yes, the Father raised Jesus to life, and since God's resurrection Spirit lives in you, he will also raise your body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. Romans 8, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put death to the deeds of the body, you will live. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the flesh has no claim on us, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, that means you're going to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways, puts it aside, lays it aside, abandons it, then we'll taste the abundant life. Let me close with this section of Scripture from the words of Paul in Galatians 2:20. Listen to every word, because I think it's one of those verses that says so much. But Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a powerful word that is. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I don't live for myself anymore, but I live for God. I belong to him. No one can snatch me out of his hand. And the life that I now live, although I'm still in the flesh, I still have a body, I still have to deal with temptation, I have to deal with all of the issues of life, I live by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. I live by faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, who loved me. He demonstrated his love for me because he died for me, and he gave himself for me. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters. God is for you. He's not against you. His love is eternal. And his desire is that you would walk with him in a personal way, that you would see the world as he sees the world, and that you would allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to empower you to live for him. God bless you. Just God bless you. Bless you. Bless your family. Bless the situation you find yourself into. Lord, I just ask for your prosperity. I ask for your provision to be released to the hearers of this word, that you would provide as they put their trust in you, that you would provide for them in every area of their life. And so until the next time, we'll continue with Romans chapter 8. God bless you. We'll see you again.